Well, I don't know how you could have missed it, but in today's gospel reading, Jesus heals a man born blind. Right, you got that, right? Heard a little bit about it. He was blind, Jesus heals him, he can see. It seems straightforward, but everyone around this man has a question. The first question is from Jesus' disciples when they see the man. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This is before the healing. So right away we get to the matter, which is debated to this day. When bad things happen, is it punishment from God? Is it ever punishment from God? The answer is no, never. When we sin, or others do, and we do something that's wrong, sometimes bad things happen as a result. We know that. But that's not God's will. God is love. God is always loving us in ways that pull for our healing, desire our healing, our forgiveness. God is always giving that to us, making us whole, helping us, there for us. In the case of the man born blind, Jesus is very clear. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Or I might say, and now God's works will be revealed in him. God redeems. God brings good and new life out of suffering and death. God redeems even our hardest moments, our suffering, our pain. In our Sunday confirmation discipleship study class for the last week, we were considering what's known as the third mark of mission, or the third mark of love. A mark in a sense that defines us as Anglicans, as Episcopalians. And this third mark is, the shorthand for it is tending, meaning responding to human need by loving service. As our small group discussed this last Sunday, for most of us, if not all of us, our greatest sense of call to respond to the needs of others is often connected to that part of our journey that's hard, that hard part of our journey. And there is great healing because of that and through that. An example from my life, I didn't grow up with much community. I often felt lonely as a child and as a teenager. That can be a lonely time for many of us. While God didn't want that for me, I believe that through God's grace, through the power of the Spirit, that has been redeemed, and that I care so deeply about community, about providing a sense of community for others, for you, that from that wound of loneliness has come a passion for community and connection. Even amid the challenges of what it is to be church in our world today, I am so energized by you. I'm energized by you and what we do together to be community for each other and for those we connect with in our wider community. The ways that we as a community then respond to human need by loving service. It's all connected and it's all very healing for everyone. When you think about your life and perhaps some of your struggles, consider how God has helped you to use those experiences in ways that are redemptive for yourself and in ways that help others. In our deepest wounds, God's works can be revealed, which means healing and joy for us, and we share that gift with the people in our lives. This is the resurrected life. But we can't get there without going through the hard stuff. Lent invites us to take a look at the hard stuff as we anticipate Easter. The man born blind, well, he was obviously blind. Sometimes our suffering is not visible, but just as in need of God's healing touch. Tonight at 5:30, we hold our Lenten contemplative service, which will focus on healing. Healing is really at the heart of the Lenten experience. Even in confessing our sins, the healing grace of forgiveness is the focus. By the time we get to that place of wanting to confess, we've already turned from those sins to God. And what we need and what God wants us to have is the assurance of God's forgiveness and love for us, God's healing touch. So much of what causes us to sin or keeps us in sinful patterns of behavior is often the result of the wounds we've carried, we've experienced. As Thomas touched the wounds of Jesus to know the reality of resurrection, Jesus longs to touch our wounds to bring us healing and new life. Wounds and resurrection are connected, intertwined. Jesus still had those wounds in his resurrected body. Jesus healed people when the time was right or when it didn't seem right, no matter the day, no matter the day of the week. Healing could come at any time. So why not today? Healing for body, mind, or spirit. That's how we understand healing in the Episcopal Church. We pray for healing. Sometimes physically it occurs, but much more often our spirits are strengthened and healed. Our emotions are made a bit more joyful by the care of others and the care of God. This healing of body, mind, or spirit is what God, Jesus, the Spirit is all about, all the time. I've felt for many years a call to the ministry of healing for both individuals and churches. As a church, as a community, we have experienced a lot of healing in these years I've been with you. Sometimes growth isn't seen in new programs, but in a whole new way of being, a healthy way of being. When we seek to be a healthy community and support others in that effort, healing of past pain is the result. And that's one kind of healing. We focus on healing for each other as individuals as well. We have healing prayer ministers on Sundays, now standing at the Earth Banner to pray with you, for you, or for those in your life. I like that we are now having these healing prayers at the Earth Banner, for we as a community are very concerned about the environment, and we pray for the healing of our Earth as well. During our 12:15 Wednesday service every week, we pray for healing. In the whole aspect of that service and in our circle, we make a circle of healing and hope and friendship where we hold hands and voice in our hearts or in words those things we desire healing around. Healing is so often found in the loving care of community. Tonight, during our 5:30 contemplative service, we will have prayers and meditations around healing. As part of this service, there will be an invitation to, quote, open wounds and pilgrimage. We will each have a piece of cloth, and as we meditate on a wounded area of our life or the life of a loved one or maybe in the life of our nation or the world, when we're ready, we will tear the cloth, symbolizing the opening of the wound. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to open a wound? I think so that we can recognize it, acknowledge it, bring our loving attention to it, and offer it up, in a sense, to be healed, knowing that God is with us in that tear, in that wound. You may have a wound that you know is quite open right now, or one that you've been trying to cover with band-aids that never quite do it. And not that tonight's prayer service will be the healing, but it could be a powerful part of God's healing prayer for you. We will, if desired, after ripping the fabric, offer it at the base of the altar. We're going to gather up here in the choir area. Offer it at the base of the altar, giving it all to God. The laying on of hands and anointing will also be offered by me, using oil blessed for the purpose. No spitting and making mud tonight. Although I thought that might be fun. But I'm planning to use the oil. When healing happens of, say, something that kept us bound, old patterns are challenged. These old patterns, they're challenged, and sometimes they fall away. And this means new life for us and the people around us. These people around us may be glad about that or not. Well, why wouldn't people be happy? Well, not everyone wants the patterns to change. The reaction of those around the blind man, the man born blind, healed by Jesus, it's rather comical, but it's so true. They were not ready for this healing and question it on many levels. Those in power, and when in the Gospel of John you hear the Jews, this is always referring to leaders who do not want to lose power, not the people as a whole. Those in power were not happy that the healing took place on the Sabbath. Even the making of mud was prohibited on the Sabbath, as it required kneading. Kneading was specifically prohibited. People weren't even sure this was the man who used to sit and beg. Is it him? No, but it's someone like him. The man's healing also required that others see him in a new way. He gets to see. They're challenged to see in a new way. See beyond the one thing, his blindness, and know him more fully in his full humanity. He kept saying, "I am the man. How did you receive your sight? How could this happen? The man named Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said, 'Go wash.' So I washed, and I can see. Where is he? I don't know." Then that man was questioned again and again. The Pharisees were divided. "What do you say? Is he a prophet?" Then they called the parents, right? It's so funny. They call the parents, who want to avoid answering any questions. "Ask him," they say. "He can speak for himself." Again, the man is questioned. And then he asks, "Why are you asking again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And that's when they'd had enough and they drove him out. Each time the healed man was questioned, he gains more insight into who he is and who Jesus is for him. The more we live into the healing God offers us, the more we know who we really are, and the more we know the God of our salvation. Let us pray. We pray for the healing of all people, every community, and for our world. We pray for the healing grace to see the fullness of all people. May we experience our wounds as held, touched, and healed by you, O God, you who are able to bring new life for us and for others from those tender places. Thanks be to God. Amen.